All right, are you ready to learn today? How many of you have your Bibles? You have your notebooks? All right, stand up. Let's pray and give God's word first place. Hold your Bible up. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, we hold and elevate the word of God up. Because God, we believe this word is going to speak to us today. We believe this word is going to impart empowerment into us to become what the word says. Lord, we come today not just to hear a sermon or a teaching or a message. We come to hear from God. And Lord, we ask that you would anoint us as much to hear as we pray that you would anoint the speaking. We give you thanks and praise for all these things in Jesus' name. If you agree with that, say a big amen.
Amen.
Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Open up your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Woo! I'm starting a series today called This Is Us. It's a series on relationships. And so in laying this foundation today, I want to start here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. All of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. Can we pause and say amen? He gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Please underline that. It's a message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ and we plead, come back to God, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. As I start the series, you might think, Pastor Kevin, why are we talking about that particular verse? As we begin talking about relationships. And I want to lay a foundation that this gospel message, that God himself is about reconciliation of relationships. That the whole gospel we preach is about God restoring broken relationships, relationships with us. And so also in finding prosperity and success in our earthly relationships, do you know that the first relationship that we need to get in order is our relationship personally with God? Because when we allow ourselves to become reconciled to God, then we begin to see the world the way it's supposed to be seen. We're empowered then to do things that our old, carnal, sinful self wasn't even willing to do. Things like forgiveness, things like releasing bitterness, things like making the move to reconcile with our brother and our sister, that God now is helping us to build those relationships with other people. So to me, it makes natural sense to start off a series on relationships by saying that the gospel we preach, there's an anointing on it to bring reconciliation, first to God and then to our fellow man. And the reason I point that out is, as God is the one making the first move to reconcile to us, that's a pattern that we're going to see today. God making the first move to reconcile. Today, I'm going to talk to you about two pillars of relationships that affect all relationships. It could be your marriage, children, the relationship you want with your children, relationship with your coworkers or your neighbors or whoever your neighbor might be. And so today's about some tools and some principles that affect all of them. Throughout the series, we're going to talk specifically about marriage, family relationships, and other relationships. And so we're excited about that. But today, I want us to see that there is an anointing. It's in the message itself. The gospel is a gospel of reconciliation. And so when I say there's anointing, that means this. If you have broken relationships, both with God, but especially even with others, people in your life, that there's a God ability, there's a God empowerment to help sort those things out and to bring those relationships back together. Just like all other parts of the gospel, when God comes in and through the gospel says that you're set free from sin, do you know that there's also an anointing to walk out of bondage of sin? It's not just, hey, you're set free from sin, but God's ability to help you walk away from sin. Do you see that there, that combination? And so when we say it's a ministry of reconciliation, it's not just it's hey, be reconciled to your brother and sister, but there's an empowerment from God to help restore these relationships, which is great because it's not just you pulling yourself up by your own bootstraps saying, I got to sort things out. But God puts his spirit on you, his ability on you to go do the hard thing, to go bring those relationships back to a place of health. Are you excited about that? And so as we preach this word and as it goes out over the next few months, it is my expectation that we receive that which we preach. And so as we're preaching on better relationships, your relationships will begin to improve as you apply the truth that you hear today, as you become a doer of that word. So I expect over the next month or so to hear great testimonies of reconciliation because that's the gospel we preach. Come on now. Amen? All right, yeah, you can get excited. Go ahead, just clap because I want you to. Because it engages you, it helps you get involved, right? And in case you're wondering, what is that noise you keep hearing on top of the building? That's the snow sliding off the building as it warms up outside, all right? So now we know what it is, you don't have to be distracted by it. It's a wonderful natural process, no worries. Okay, here we go. Two things we're gonna talk about today, the two pillars, pillar one and two is this, the idea of communication and character. Communication and character. These are the two pillars that will affect the health of all relationships that you have. Marriage, your family, neighbors, coworkers, and even the relationship you have with God. I choose today to use the Bible as an illustration of our first pillar because it's God's word communicating to us. It's a very special Bible someone gave me years ago as a token. It's from 1863, so it's a very old Bible. It's got some really cool pictures and things on the inside. But isn't it great that it still says the same thing as our Bible today? The word is unchanging. But it's God communicating to us, and then we're going to talk about character. Communication, character. So let me start with the pillar of communication. Write this in your notes, please, with the idea of communication. The goal of communication should be understanding instead of simply speaking. The goal of communication should be understanding instead of simply speaking. Now, in lots of different relationships that we have, sometimes we give ourselves way too much credit thinking we're great communicators because we do a lot of yelling. I'm a great communicator. I tell my kids this, and I tell my spouse that, and I tell people this, and everyone knows what I'm thinking. But do you realize there's a difference between simply speaking and people understanding what you're trying to say? From people really comprehending the message that you're getting across. Our goal in communication is not just to speak, but it's that the person that we're trying to build relationship with understands what's coming out of our heart. But at the same time, in order for that to happen, and for me even to speak the right words or in the right way, I need to have understanding about how they receive communication so that it's my responsibility to communicate in a way that they can understand. Amen? So one of the biggest factors of successful relationships is the ability to communicate, for people to understand one another. You know, I don't know if you know this or not, but after much consideration and experience in this, do you know that men and women think differently? Yeah, it's a shock, isn't it? It's totally surprising. But no matter how much, men, we want our wife to think the way we think and to hear things the way we think is the way it's supposed to be heard, that there is a way that she understands and a way that she speaks even to us that we need to learn. And as we learn how to communicate, we learn how to understand one another. So men and women think differently, but also kids think differently than adults. And the way they process information is different than the way an adult processes information. And even your neighbors out there, there's different cultures and different backgrounds, and everyone has their own history and their own story. And even in this room right now, there's a couple of hundred people here. I'm preaching one message, but do you understand it's being interpreted about 200 different ways? Because you're seeing and hearing the message not based on what I'm saying, but based on what you feel right now or based on your personal experiences in your life right now. And so my goal or desire is to help you understand, but all this is going on in our relationship. And sometimes we don't take that into consideration when it comes to healthy relationships, that what is happening in the heart or in the mind or in the life of the person I want to build relationship with. My spouse, my kids, how do they understand? How do they receive information? How do they interpret that information? Because my goal isn't just to get something off my chest. My goal isn't just to be speaking in my house. My goal is understanding because that's what builds relationship. Did you understand what I just said? Sometimes we're doing a whole lot of talking, but there's not a lot of understanding going around. And so we're going to kind of touch on that based on this first pillar of communication. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, talks about the idea of gaining or getting wisdom. But then at the end of it, it says, with all of that getting, get understanding. I love the way it's worded, because it's worded with an intentionality and a responsibility on your part, on my part, to get understanding. Not on the part of the other person, but on my part, to do what I can do to gain understanding about all kinds of things. And that's part of communication, is to get to this place of understanding, not putting the burden of understanding on everybody else. How many times in relationships we put the burden on them to understand us rather than the burden on ourselves to understand them and how to communicate effectively to them? Throughout this series, you're going to hear me say it over and over again. We're going to talk about what we can change, what we can do to have healthy relationships. I can't make anyone do or think or obey anything, but I can do me well. I can make myself better at communicating and understanding in hopes to gain better relationship. You can't control them, but you can control you. These two pillars are things that are under our control. And the Bible tells us here, with all of our getting, to have a passion about this idea of understanding, both communicating in a way that we understand others can understand, but also understanding the people that we're trying to communicate to. And actually, last night in the middle of worship, the Lord dropped a verse into my heart that added to the message, and it kind of added a few extra minutes to the message as well. But I really felt the Lord say, Kevin, you need to add this in the idea of pursuing understanding in the body of Christ. Let me give you this additional verse that God gave me. It's in Matthew chapter 18. So quickly go over to Matthew chapter 18. Because you'll see how this affects all of our relationships so much. Matter of fact, it's kind of on an epidemic level when it comes not only to the body of Christ, but the world in general. And it's the idea of, write this in your notes, assuming. Assuming. Rather than this pursuit of understanding, like, what happened there? Or what's going on inside of your heart? Or what are you thinking right now? Rather than taking the initiative to gain or get understanding, which would then develop communication, open doors of communication, we hide behind this mask called assuming. And so you see it here, the solution of it is in Matthew chapter 18. The Bible says in verse 15, if another believer sins against you. Now that word sin, that sounds like a harsh word, but it's interesting. The word sin there also has implied in it the idea in the Greek to error. You know, people make mistakes in relationships with other people. That happens. It's human nature. It just happens. That word sin can also mean they miss the mark. You know, people miss the mark in relationships sometimes. People hurt people sometimes. Sometimes people miss the mark of what our expectation was, but it's not always their fault, because come on, let's be honest. Sometimes people, we're moving the targets on them. Like last week, this was the target. This week, that's the target. And we moved and we got offended because they didn't do what our unspoken expectation was. But it's possible for us to be offended or hurt with each other. So the idea of missing the mark, to being offended, the other word the Bible uses, the word trespass. This is what the Bible says. It says, if another believer errs, missteps, offends, misses the mark, trespasses, go privately and point out that offense. If the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back. If you're unsuccessful, take one or two others with you to go back again so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses. If the person still refuses to listen, take your case to the church. If he or she won't accept the church's decision, treat the person as a pagan or a corrupt tax collector. So obviously in this in particular case, it was a pretty significant offense that would then lead to some sort of church, you know, legislation or something like that. But the idea in the beginning is still the same. Whether it was this massive thing or even the small areas where we misstep or miscommunicate or error or miss the mark in each other's lives, the goal is if there's an offense, if there's something that's happened in our relationship, that you go to them and you have a conversation to gain understanding. Because when you assume what the other person meant, when you assume what their motive was, when you assume even how the conversation would go if you would have it with them, the truth is you don't really know until you actually go. I don't know about you, but I know in myself that I've had times where I've been driving down the car and I've had arguments in my head with individuals. I've had complete discussions with them where I was the judge, jury, and executioner of the entire conversation, and yet I still refused to go and actually ask them, why did you say that? Why did you do that? What were you thinking when that happened? Because I'm trying to avoid confrontation. I won't make you confess on yourself, but can you raise your hand for somebody else if you've ever seen that before? Absolutely. And we assume, and that's a lack of understanding. We don't know why they did it because we never asked. We don't know what they're really thinking. If you've ever had this sentence in your head that says, oh, I know what they're thinking, the truth is you don't. Or you refuse to have the tough conversation or the uncomfortable conversation because you're like, well, I already know how that conversation's gonna go. No, you don't. you're assuming. And you're living in ignorance rather than gaining understanding, which gaining understanding is part of healthy communication, which leads to healthy relationships. So we end up sacrificing a good relationship because we're too afraid to have the uncomfortable conversation. Are you understanding that? And so we hide behind assuming. And here's what we do as Christians. Rather than doing what the Bible says about gaining understanding about what was going on, what were they thinking, what are they feeling now, and we live in assumption, we say, well, I'm not going to go to them. I'm just going to pray about it. But the Bible doesn't say pray about it. It says go get understanding. And so we hide for 20 years in praying about it as that relationship dies more and more. And so I felt very strongly last night that I needed to add that into this part of the conversation about with all you're getting, get understanding, get passionate, because understanding is huge as part of communication. It's what keeps communication open. And so if you want relationship with these individuals, let's not let them die because of offense that we refuse to deal with. And let's go after getting understanding with all you're getting. What? Get understanding. Amen. Do not live under assumption. Now, as communication increases and the ability to understand one another increases, you find that your relationships become stronger, healthier, more enjoyable. It's true with husbands and wives. It's true with your children. It's true with other people. And you can find where when communication dissipates, understanding becomes confusing, that those relationships deteriorate. You could even see it in your own personal experience with raising your kids. When your kids were little, and they couldn't communicate to you, it was kind of a one-way relationship. You know, you're like, I love you, and goochie, 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 and all this kind of stuff. You know, but there was just kind of one way. You're changing them, you're feeding them, you're protecting them, you're providing for them. And so it's, as much as you love them, it's a lot of responsibility and not a whole lot of relationship back. Are you understanding that? And it's not making you a bad parent if you say you agree with that, but it's true. Sometimes you see moms who they haven't had a shower in like 3 days and their hairs are fried out, you know what I'm saying? Because they're just like, they're just taking care of these kids and it's crazy, you know, all this time. And it can feel like a burden at times, or it can feel like a responsibility, not a lot of relationship, just because of the season that it's in. It's a whole lot of one way, it's a whole lot of giving. But as the kids grow older and they begin to say, I love you, Mom, or thank you, Mom and Dad, or they begin to have conversations with you and you begin to hear what's on their mind, you begin to talk about how was your day, how did that make you feel? Do you understand how now it moves from just a sense of responsibility to genuine relationship? And as the communication continues, the relationship continues to grow. Are you understanding this? Now, I can say that even on a flip side personally, where I had a lack of that for an extended period of time when it came to my son Isaiah. My son Isaiah has cerebral palsy. He's 14 now. And his communication was extremely delayed. And so with the other kids, as they were getting older and progressing and they could talk to you about their day or that I love you or, you know, laugh, you know, create some jokes or some humor, and you're getting understanding about them, you're learning them, and I would develop this relationship. With my son Isaiah, it took a lot longer because he couldn't communicate. And so that feeling of the responsibility was there. There was a love, but it's not the same kind of love as that relationship of communication grows. This personal relationship would continue to grow naturally. And so as he's gotten older now, he's 14, like I said, he'll use a communication device to tell you what he's thinking or what he's feeling. He can now do small sentences, and he can say when something makes him happy, when something makes him sad, what he really wants to eat, when he really doesn't like something. He'll come out of his bedroom with his own personal sense of humor. He'll have a bunch of dirty socks on his head, and he'll just tap you on the shoulder. You turn around, and you see like a pile of dirty socks on his head. He just wants to see what you're going to say. And so as he's communicating, and I'm gaining understanding, our relationship is growing. But you see, that was delayed, and the relationship was just different until he was able to communicate and understand. Do you understand that can happen even with us and God? Where God is wanting to communicate to us, and as we communicate both to God and we let God communicate to us, it keeps our relationship from just being one of responsibility and one of genuine relationship. If you feel like you're just responsibly obeying and serving God, probably the root of that is you've not spoken to him a whole lot recently or let him speak to you a whole lot personally. Because as communication goes, so goes that relationship. As you begin to understand more and more about God and you begin to gain understanding a little bit more about how God sees you, it is not irksome or burdensome for us to obey the Lord. It's not just a sense of responsibility. Out of that relationship, we desire to give God everything. We desire for God to be in everything. You see what I'm saying? He's not butting in. We want him in because that communication is there. But if you find yourself just kind of feeling like it's drudgery or feeling like it's just responsibility, possibly it's because you're not enjoying the relationship and the communication that you should in that relationship. But you could do something about it. Isn't that awesome? You can do something about it. So let's continue on this kind of idea of growing in communication and God as our example of that communication. I used in the first verse that God is reconciling the world to himself. He's reaching out for relationship and he's communicating to the people he wants to reconcile to himself, which is all of us. Now, I made a short list, you can write it in your notes, of different ways that God is sending communication for us to understand him and to hear what he's trying to say. Now, it's not in any specific order. It's just a quick way how they came to me. So it's not in certain order of priority or anything. And it's not a complete list. But I want you to write this down because I'm going to make a point about it. Ready? Got your pens ready? One, God sends prophets to communicate to people. Number two, God gave us his scripture, his holy word, to communicate to us. Number three, God sends the Holy Spirit to communicate to us, to be our helper, to be there with us, explaining and interpreting and revealing. Number four, God uses dreams and visions to communicate, speak to us. Number five, Jesus, God in the flesh, the Word became flesh so that we could understand the Word and see its fulfillment and touch it and experience it and see it in history. And number six, even nature itself, the Bible says, communicates and speaks of the glory of God, of his nature, of his attributes, of his ways. And all I'm trying to communicate, and there's a whole lot more ways that God speaks to us, but what I want you to see is look how much God wants us to understand who he is and to have relationship with him. See, if we're saying that God wants relationship with us, then communication is a huge part of having relationship. Come on, somebody. If you're saying you want relationship with your spouse, if you're saying you want relationship with your kids, if you're saying you want relationship with your parents or neighbors or coworkers, communication is huge. God said he wants to reconcile with us. God said he wants relationship with us. And so he focuses and focuses and pours out and pours out communication, 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 communication. It even goes against the lie that people think that they think God wants to remain a mystery or so confusing or somewhere out there. That's a lie. God is trying to reveal himself to you. He's trying for you to help you understand who he is. Do you see that? He's not trying to remain a mystery. Why would he send prophets to talk to you and give you the scripture and the Holy Spirit and Jesus put on the flesh to make sure you don't mess it up and you get like the real thing, you know? God wants you to know him more than you want to know him, and he's sending you communication. Because that's the first pillar of relationship, the ability to communicate so that you'll understand. So let's draw a few lessons from God's communication. Just some things that we can then overlay on our own personal communication styles and what we do. It's one of the first things I see when I think about God sending prophets and scripture and Holy Spirit and dreams, visions, Jesus the Word, come flesh. Some of the lessons I learned. The first lesson I learned is this when I look at that. God takes the initiative to communicate to the one he desires relationship with. I'm going to say that again because I just want to make sure you heard that correctly. God takes the initiative to communicate to the one he desires relationship with. What if we took that approach in our lives? Somewhere in our upbringing or our life, we kind of took on this opposite role that if we wanted relationship with somebody, we wait for them to notice us. Maybe it happened in elementary school where you wanted people to pick you for the team or they wanted someone to have friendship with you. Now, some of you naturally go out of your way and you go make friends. That's great. But there's a large majority of us that we still wait for other people to make the first move. We wait for people to see us and to come towards us. But what I want us to see in God's example of healthy relationships, God made the first move. God sees who he wants relationship with. He sees you. Aren't you glad that God found you before you were smart enough to find him? That's healthy reconciliation, healthy communication. Sometimes we wait for other people to want relationship with us, but scripturally speaking, we should say, I want to have friendship with them. I desire healthy relationship with them. I am determined to have a solid relationship with my kids, with my spouse, with my parents, with this person at work. Do you see what I'm saying? You take the responsibility, you take the initiative, and you say, I will come to them. I will start communicating to them. I will take that personally. That's one of the key lessons I learned here, is that God takes the initiative to communicate to the people he desires relationship with. Number two, that God attempts multiple forms of communication to get through to us. God attempts multiple forms of communication to get through to us. Why? Because we don't all learn the same. We don't all understand the same. But remember, with all you're getting, get understanding. Not just understanding about what you want to say, but understanding how the person that you want relationship with, how they receive information, and then you present it a way that they can receive. You know, we've talked before in this church about the five love languages and how we're all different in that. Some of you have stronger love languages than others. Husbands and wives, so many times they conflict because they speak different love languages. I mean, just, I won't teach on it, but you know, you got acts of service, you have words of affirmation, quality time, touch, and gifts. And those are all just different ways people give and receive and communicate love. We're all different. But in learning your spouse's love language, you can then communicate love in a way that they understand, because that's real communication. Is how do they understand? So you notice God here, he's not limited in one way to say, well, I gave them my word, they didn't get it, tough luck, it's on them. But how many times do we do that in relationships? Well, I told them. I told my kids. I told my spouse. I told them at work. I told them. But if we don't consider how do they understand, and did they even understand what I was saying or what you were trying to communicate? Even if it's good things, it's not always bad, but even in love, well, they should know I love them. Well, did you speak love in a way that they understand love? Sometimes we just think about it in a negative way. Well, I told them what I thought. Well, also, I told them something good, but if they don't receive it in words of affirmation, maybe they need to see it in actions, maybe they need to see it with quality time, how is the recipient of what you're trying to communicate, how do they understand? And you notice God doesn't limit his ways to just one way. I love it. It's he keeps sending multiple forms of communication to say the same thing. I love you. I'm with you. I'm supporting you. I will not leave you. I'll not forsake you. I got you now and I got you in eternity, and I'm going to send it to you through prophets and writing and dreams and visions. Do you see this? He is going to make sure you understand, because he desires. Man, this should just get you so excited just about how much God wants relationship with you. Even if this doesn't help you personally with your relationship, just see how much God wants relationship with you, man. I mean, he's coming at you from all angles, because he wants to make sure you don't miss it. Because this relationship between him and you was so important, he put his life on the line for it. Amen. God wants to communicate, not just speak. He's trying to communicate. Amen. Love it. So number one, he takes the initiative. Number two, he attempts multiple forms of communication. Number three, he continues to try even when we don't respond initially. Man, that alone is worth it. He continues to try even when we don't respond initially. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 5. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. Love is not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. See, God isn't up there saying, well, I tried two or three times to get him on the phone, or I tried two or three times to tell him I love him, and they don't accept it. Do you understand that God doesn't keep record of wrong? He keeps telling you he loves you until the day he gets through. Isn't that awesome? Aren't you glad that God didn't stop telling you he loved you after the first two or three times you rejected his love? Come on, that's a good place to say amen. Aren't you glad God didn't stop trying to communicate to you even after the first three or four times you rejected him? He keeps trying to get through, even when we don't accept the communication the first time. Love keeps no record of wrong, does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. Now again, God isn't controlling our response. He's controlling his action to have good relationship with you. Now, I can't guarantee you if you keep sending proper communication and you're thinking about how they will understand and receive it, I can't guarantee you their response, but I can guarantee you that you're doing the right stuff. And sooner or later, you will reap a harvest of the seeds you sow. Even if that relationship doesn't turn out, you have learned the skills to have quality relationships in the future, and you'll have great relationships in the future. Did you understand what I just said there? So I ask you a question. What form of communication are you naturally good at? Just think about it. First thing on your mind right now. What form of communication are you naturally good at? Next. What forms of communication should you develop for the sake of the person or persons you desire to have relationship with? I just want you for a few moments to think about three relationships that you want better relationship with. And just real quickly think, are there any skills or communication devices that I need to acquire, learn, develop in order to have a better relationship with them? Another way to say that would be, how do you think they understand? What modes of information or communication do they most seem to respond to? And how are you at using those? That's just a good way to kind of break this down in a simplistic manner. What forms of communication should you develop for the sake of the person or persons you're trying to communicate or have a relationship with? Let me give you some examples. For some of you, it's important, maybe, to start learning how to share more personally. Maybe for some of us, that's not very natural. We don't know how to open up. But you understand, sometimes in letting people in on the inside and sharing a little more about personal life and personal story helps the person you're trying to have a relationship feel closer and more connected to you. For some of us, that's unnatural to share our personal inside stuff. For some of you, it's very natural. Matter of fact, for some people, sharing too much information is very natural. Put some of that personal stuff back in, you know what I mean? It's like, yeesh. But think about the person you're wanting friendship or relationship with, and how good are you at sharing on a deeper level, not just surfacey? Because you keep it on a surface level, how's the weather, look at the sports, hey there, guy. You know, it's like, that's about as far as it's gonna go. And so do you need to learn a little bit more on how to tap into what's going on the inside? Now, for some of us, I can't just say it's guys, but I'm a guy, so I'm going to say for me personally. Sometimes when Maria asks me what I'm feeling or what I'm thinking, sometimes as a guy, it's not that I don't want to share the feelings, but sometimes as a guy, I don't sit there and think about my feelings. There's always a guy that says amen to that part. Amen. It's always one. It's not that we don't have feelings. Come on now. We're not robots. We do, but sometimes we don't let ourselves sit down and think, how did I feel about that event? Because we're just putting our head down and plowing through the next thing. Guys, that's not always healthy, is it? Sometimes, thank you again. I'm just going to have a message between me and Arthur right now. It's just me and Arthur, and all of you are just watching, okay? It's just a conversation between me and Arthur today. But do you see what I'm saying? Sometimes, guys, it's just a matter of us slowing down, valuing the relationship we want with our spouse enough to tap into some of that stuff and to think about those things and then trust them with it. And in doing so, she understands us. We even understand ourselves on a higher level, and communication increases. Another example might be some of the people you want to have better relationship with, they might do better if you write things out to them, because they like to read it and then they consider it and they think about it. So maybe that involves you learning to be a little bit more frequent and use the habit of writing to the person. Another example might be learning how to listen to understand rather than listening to speak. That was something the Lord had to deal with me on, especially the beginning of ministry. I loved hearing myself talk. I thought I was brilliant, and I thought everyone wanted to know what I had to say. They don't. They want to talk, and they just want you to listen. But sometimes I'm just waiting for them to stop talking so I can quickly share my infinite wisdom. But the truth is, they didn't even need that. And learning how to listen for the sake of gaining understanding about the situation rather than listening, waiting for an opportunity to talk. Maybe that's something we need to learn how to develop. Another thing here might be the idea of learning how to be a little more serious. You know, I found in working with a lot of people over the years, sometimes people use humor and joking as a smokescreen because it keeps you from ever really understanding them on the inside. If you're honest with yourself, do you do that? Whenever the conversation gets a little serious or a little uncomfortable, you have to make a joke about it. You have to use some sarcasm about it. And the truth is you're running from really giving and sharing, and which is would give the person you want relationship with better understanding of you, would actually develop communication, which would actually develop the relationship. So you think by making them laugh, it's making the relationship better. In reality, it's keeping it on a surface level. Did you understand what I just said? But maybe on the flip side of that, come on, let's always have a balance here. Maybe some of you are always so serious, you need to learn how to lighten up a little bit. It's because every time someone wants to have a relationship with you and talk to you, you're like talking to a funeral director all the time. Nothing wrong with funeral directors, okay? We love all funeral directors. We are grateful for you. But what I'm saying is that you're so depressed and dark all the time that nobody wants to open up to you either. So maybe you have to learn how to laugh a little bit at life, learn how to laugh a little bit at yourself. And so there's always growth and balance. Did you get anything out of any of that? Absolutely. So where do you need to grow? Where do you need to improve? There's always more that we can become. So let's talk about the pillar of trust in the last just few minutes. The pillar of communication just has so many facets. There's a lot to say about it. The pillar of trust is very simplistic, but still very powerful. The pillar of character, it's communication and character is what I said. Communication and character. But I want to couch the word character with the word trust. That's the one I want to focus on. Character equaling trust. So you have communication, character, but the idea of trust. Stephen Covey said this in his book, The Speed of Trust. He says, trust is the glue of life. It's the most essential ingredient in effective communication. Going back to that. It's the foundational principle that holds all relationships. I'll read it one more time so you can process it. Trust is the glue of life. It's the most essential ingredient in effective communication. It's the foundational principle that holds all relationships. Now, interesting thing about trust. Trust cannot be demanded. Trust is earned. Write that down. Sometimes dads, we think because of our office or our position, I'm the father, I'm the dad, you should trust me. No, trust is earned. Or even as an employer, I'm your boss, I'm your supervisor. Trust is earned. Trust is earned. It is not demanded. Now, the idea of trust also has within it another word, and I'm going to bring all these together, so hopefully it doesn't overcomplicate it, but it's the word integrity. Integrity. The idea of trust, the idea of character has the word integrity in it, and the word integrity in its kind of root is the idea of being an integrated person. Integrated person. Integrity means you do what you say, and you say what you do, and they go together. Your words and your actions go together. There is an integrity there. They're integrated. You don't say one thing and do another. Do you understand this? That's why these two pillars are the foundation of all relationships, because we need to gain understanding and share in a way that people can understand. Communication is huge, but if I don't back it up with a trustworthy life, I can make all kinds of promises, but my life cuts my promises off at the knees. I can make all kinds of great statements. I love you. I'm committed to you. But if my actions of saying, oh, I love you, you're the only one for me, and my eyes are always looking at other women, come on now. Or I will never leave you. I'll never hurt you. I'll always be there for you. I'll provide for you. But then the man will never go out and get a job. He can make all kinds of clear communication. I'm going to be there. I'm going to provide. But I'm lazy thing. See, my actions and my words are not lining up. There's no trust. So it doesn't matter what you're saying, because your character, your trustworthiness, your integrity has been violated and broken. Are you getting this? And so as much as this is huge, this is just as important. God has made all kinds of promises towards us. And we see it through Scripture. God's example of making promises and backing them up. Making promises and backing them up. God promised to make Abraham a mighty nation. Did he do that? Yes. He absolutely did that. God promised to make David king of Israel, even though he was a shepherd boy. Did God do that? Yes, he absolutely did that. God promised Eve that through her womb, he would bring the Savior of the world that would crush the devil's head. Did he do that? Yes, he did that in Jesus. God promised he would never leave us or forsake us in the New Testament. And when Jesus left, he sent the Holy Spirit. So yes, he did that. And God's promise to love us and to always love us. And yes, he's demonstrated that love. Open up your Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Romans chapter 5, just to see this verse in its context now. of what God's trying to say and communicate to us. Romans chapter 5. We're going to look at verse 6 through 11. Romans 5, verses 6 through 11. When we were utterly helpless, the Bible says, Christ came at just the right time, and he died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love. Your Bible may say, God demonstrated his love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. And since we've been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from condemnation. What do I want you to see there is this, that God said he loved us, communicated it in multiple ways, and then he proved it with his actions. He demonstrated it by coming and dying for us even while we were sinners. Do you hear that? So he said it and he lived it. He said it and he demonstrated it. That's the pattern of trustworthy relationships. Matter of fact, your whole Bible is built on this concept, okay? The thing you put your faith in, there's two parts to the Bible. You can kind of see this pattern over and over again. The first half of the Bible is this. It's God making great and precious promises and blood covenant. Do you see that? There's great and precious promises throughout your Bible and God's blood covenant, his promises of covenant in the Bible. The other half of the Bible is this. It's stories of God's, of testimony of God being faithful to those promises. Did you hear that? Your Bible is this. God making great and precious promises and God being faithful to demonstrate and to fulfill those great and precious promises, which is why you can have faith that God is who he said he is because of those testimonies and those promises. And so today I want to bring those two pillars together into your life and kind of bring them in front of us. Where are you at with your communication and where are you with your character and being trustworthy as you're trying to communicate and build a relationship with certain people? Here's a couple questions for you as we close, a couple questions. The question is this, can people trust you, right? So you ask this kind of self-evaluation process. The first one is this, am I someone I would trust? Write that in your notes. It's a good question to ask yourself. It's interesting when you put the mirror against yourself, right? Am I someone I would trust? If I met myself today, would I put confidence in myself? And then the next question of that is why? Because a lot of times we're really easy on ourselves. We're like, yeah, sure, I'm a great guy. But then ask yourself why. Where are the tangibles there? Like, if I met myself today, why would I trust me? So are you someone that you would trust and why? Number two, do you have the capability to do what you're saying you're going to do? You know what's cool about God when he makes great and precious promises? He has all the power and the ability to back up everything that he says. But too many times we find people who are trying to earn people's love or trying to impress people, and they make grandiose promises that they never intend on keeping or that they don't can't even physically keep them anyways. The Bible says, let your yes be yes, your no be no. You're violating your own credibility when you make promises that you either don't intend on keeping or you don't have the capacity to keep. Just be honest. Can we just get there? Just be honest. The other part of that, though, is this. If you do make a promise, you do everything you need to do to grow into the person that can fulfill that promise because you have that capacity. Next, am I honest about my motives? Again, can people trust me? That's where we're going. Am I honest about my motives? God's very clear about his motives of why he wants us in relationship with him. Now, if we know in our heart of hearts why we say, I choose to have a relationship with this person, it could be somebody at work, a friend you want to make, even in your marriage, or even why you want a relationship with your kids, it's important that you know your own motives there and there's no hidden agendas in there. Because then you know that the reason I want to be their friend and the reason I'm communicating with them on a higher level is because I desire a genuine, authentic friendship relationship. I want to help add to their life. I believe they could even add to my own. And there's a genuine purity of motive there. Motives are a big deal. Why do you want that relationship to thrive? Why do you want your marriage to thrive? Why do you want your kids to trust you? We take it for granted sometimes that everybody has pure motives in that, but why? If your motives are pure. Next one. Do I always do what I say I'm going to do? That's a good self-evaluation. Do you always do what you say you're going to do? Next one. Do I show up consistently as someone I would trust? I find this one to be an interesting one because I hear it a lot in church sometimes. People get super excited about a message, even like today, and they're like, oh man, I need to have better relationships with my kids or better relationships with my spouse and all this stuff. And so for about a week or two, they try really hard to show up better. It may take more than a week or two to rebuild trust. Can I get an amen on that? And you just need to be in it for the long haul. Again, going back to motive. You're not trying to build character and be a trustworthy person just to get them back into your life. But you're doing it because this is the person you genuinely want to be forever. A trustworthy person. And again, even if they never respond, and here you are sending out quality now, you've changed your heart, and God's changed your heart, and your perspective, and your motives are changing, I cannot guarantee that those relationships will all come running. But by you making commitment to yourself to become a person of understanding and quality character, you will eventually have genuine and authentic trusting relationships back in your life again. But it's not a short-term fix thing. It's about showing up consistently as a trustworthy person. And then the last thing I'll say is this. Do you keep promises to yourself? It's called self-trust. The Bible tells us to love others as you love yourself. And sometimes we don't realize that when we break even personal promises to ourselves, we create this internal kind of belief system that it's okay to say something and then kind of delay it or put it off or not fulfill it. But when you're the kind of person that even when you make a promise to yourself, you keep it, then all of a sudden, what do you think is going to happen when you make promises to other people? You're going to keep them. So when you tell yourself, I'm going to get up tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock and read my Bible and the alarm clock rings and you hit the snooze button and you don't get up at 6 o'clock, you just broke trust with yourself. And you've created this kind of subconscious thing that it's okay to make promises, whether to yourself and even to others, that you can either delay or you can make an excuse over. See, trust starts even with you being faithful to your own word, to yourself. Do you see this? If you won't violate your own trust to yourself, you say, I will not, if I make a commitment even to myself personally, I will not violate that. Do you understand that you also will carry that out into your relationship with other people? And so it starts here. I'm telling you, this whole series is always going to point fingers back here. In a series on relationships, you think we're going to point fingers there? No, we're going to look here. Because I cannot control them, but I can control this. I can get better here. And getting better here, it eventually will produce better relationships out here. Go ahead and stand up. Let's close in a word of prayer. Did you get anything out of that today? Absolutely. All right, Pastor Brock, if you'll come, we're going to pray this into our lives. So let's just kind of ask God to help us and anoint us for better relationships. Heavenly Father, right now in Jesus' name, we thank you that it is your will for us to have great relationship with you, great relationships with others. Even today, certain names and relationships kind of came to the forefront of our mind. And I pray, God, that you would anoint us to get better at communicating with them, understanding them. And God, even things that we need to do, maybe with personal responsibility and character issues, we repent right now. We ask for your forgiveness. Maybe we've been hurtful or we've ignored certain things that we need to lean into. And God, we ask for your help. And I pray right now for no guilt, no condemnation. We confess those things before you. And we ask, God, that you just help us to get better. Help us to make change. And it may take time, but we're willing. We're willing to walk that journey. God, I bless this house. I pray over the next 4 to 6 weeks, we even begin to see some breakthrough in some key relationships. That you manifest signs and wonders according to your word as it goes forth. I give you thanks and praise for all these things. If you agree with that, say a big amen.